This is Bigger Than the Game with Dermy Dove and Jose Ruiz.
Man with all the power and too sweet to be sour, Mr. Jose Ruiz. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Jeremy? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I can't complain. You know, coming off our last episode with broadcasting legend Merrill Reese. Well, you know, how can I be down?
You tell me, man. Like, that was fun, though. That was fun to have. Obviously, a Hall of Famer, you know, joined the podcast and just a Philly legend. You know, we grew up on Merle. So
yeah,
that was pretty cool. But you know, this episode, you know, I'm excited for this episode. I know we've been talking about this for a little bit, but I'll let you let us know what it is.
No, it's cool. And I'll say this real quick, cause we're from Philly, but we talk to everybody. So it's just cool when, you know, wherever you're from, if you have that voice of your team, and getting able to chat it up with them and have a conversation is really cool. So that was a real, no matter what anyone says, like, that was a cool experience to be able to do with someone you listen to your whole life. But, you know, with this episode, Jose, it's interesting because we're recording this the night of the Home Run Derby. So for baseball, we're at the midway point, the Midsummer Classic. It's the All-Star break. And there's been a lot of memorable moments in All-Star game history throughout. You know, I think of, you know, Pete Rose, you know, his great play at his running over, you know, good old Ray in the 1970 All-Star
great
game.
Play. I don't know. Like, great.
Great play. Great play. Charlie Hustle, baby. You know, I think about Bo Jackson and that home run in the 89 All-Star game. But to me, the most memorable All-Star game, as far as just what the Midsummer Classic is all about, was that 99 All-Star game. And it was awesome because it was at Fenway Park. I think there couldn't have been a better ballpark, even over Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Nah, Fenway looks like this old school. And
yeah. Looks great. And it was special because you had the All-Century team out there. And they saved the best for last, the greatest hitter of all time. They bring out Ted Williams. And people who don't know, we should, the history that Ted had with Boston and that city and the fans, and for him to get that ovation. And I'll never forget, you know, all the All-Century guys, the current All-Stars, all surrounding Ted at that cart, and the PA announcer having to tell the players, please go back to the dugouts to start the game, you know. And to me, it's like, you would think you can't top that moment, but then Mr. Pedro Martinez took the mound and gave probably the most electrifying performance in All-Star game history.
Right. And, you know, you were talking about it's in Fenway Park. He was obviously starting, and he was playing for Boston. And we'll get into this 99 season in a little bit. But he was having an amazing first half of the season. And, you know, before I even get into this, like, I always have this debate, even with myself, like which All-Star game is the best All-Star game? Right. You know, the Pro Bowl used to be fun to watch, but now it's like flag football pretty much. And, you know, NHL All-Star game, it's like it's the same thing. It's like no defense played and everybody are scoring 10 goals apiece. And now they're like breaking it up into divisions. And, you know, that's like a cool idea, kind of something new. But still, it's still a lot of work to be done there. NBA All-Star game, you know. It's been pretty good the last couple seasons, but, you know, that was like Team LeBron, Team whoever else, and they picked their own players, and I hate it too. And, you know, so that's kind of lost a little bit of luster for me. But for me, the one that I don't want to say hardly disappoints, but the one for me that's been the best for a long time is the baseball All-Star game. Like, because that's like one-on-one, pitcher against hitter. You're going up against the best players, and you know, all these pitchers come in, they only pitch like one or two innings. And, you know, there's just a lot of great players. And it's like, even before like interleague play, like I think interleague play has taken it away a little bit, you know, because these guys face each other all the time now or for the, like often enough. But before interleague, man, when they were hardly facing each other, when you got Griffey going up against Maddox, like that never happened. You know what I mean? Like it was just really fun to watch. So, You know, I don't know about you, how you feel about the All-Star game, Jeremy, but like, which, if you had to rank them, which one would you say is the best?
For the actual game, it's baseball. What the NBA has to me is the whole weekend is fun.
That's they got that on.
The whole weekend from the Friday night to everything Saturday, and then
Sunday's, I mean, baseball fun. Got the home run derby, like. You know, they got it tonight. Tomorrow's the game. I think that's
the home run derby isn't as special as it used to be for me, honestly. It doesn't have the luster. I mean, obviously that goes with steroids and the home run ball is different. But I mean, back in the day, you know, home run derby was huge. I went to the home run derby when the All-Star game came to Philadelphia back in 96, and it was amazing, you know. So your boy Barry Bonds won it that year. So
then McGuire hit a moonshot.
He played for the
A's, right?
Right.
He
hit a correct
monster shot. Yeah,
correct. So but baseball is my favorite. I want to know what you think about this one. I like that in baseball, which you don't see, I don't anywhere else, that every team has to have a representative.
I like that. It's in a way, to an extent, because some guys don't belong there, but I guess like I do like that if you're a fan of your team, you're going to watch somebody play. You know what I mean? Like I you're going to see one of your guys. I like that part. I like, especially growing up in Philly, you know, the Phillies are one of the worst teams in sports history, let alone baseball, but you at least knew you would see some glimpse there of whoever, you know what I mean? Like coming out, and if they're a reliever, pitcher, whatever, you know, you were going to see one of your guys play.
And also, to me, I like it. I hear you on that argument that maybe someone doesn't, but a lot of times it's a popularity thing. And if you know, baseball to me, it's still now with how technology is, it's always been a very regionalized game. So especially back then, but even now, a lot of times you're not paying attention. If that team stinks and they're across the country and you don't really care, let's be real. Even if you guys be a true baseball junkie, and that's different to me than any other sport where like, it's just so regionalized that I like that. Like, cause a lot of times if you're out in the West Coast, you're not following the Pirates. You don't know who's been good on that team. And a lot of times those guys,
vice versa. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times the team may stink, but you have a player who's having a really good year, but the fans aren't going to care or look and focus on that guy. So, I will say I always like that about the All-Star game as well.
Yeah, that's definitely, again, like, and I can always remember that growing up. It's like you would always hear that often. Like, each team gets a representative, and I just couldn't wait for my guy to come up, like Mike Lieberthal or something like that in the 90s. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just, I knew somebody, I was going to see somebody that I knew. I mean, we knew most of the players there probably, but, you know, I wanted to see one of my guys for sure.
So, you know, what's interesting is we talk about the 99 All-Star game, and we're going to be talking about, you know, Pedro Martinez and his 99 season. And that's why we, you know, this All-Star game kind of brought that up. But it's interesting because I think that is the highlight that people think of his 99 season for like a moment. But I think you can make the argument. There's a lot of arguments we can make in this episode, and we're going to get to them.
Yeah,
you can make the argument, should that be the number one moment of his 99 season? And I'll get to what I think should be the moment, but a lot of time, and that's saying something, because maybe one of the most special moments ever, what he did in that All-Star game after Ted Williams coming out and the All-Century team, it's a special moment that I'll never forget. And anyone who watched that, I think will never, I don't think you can top that All-Star game. You can tie it. You can't top that All-Star game moment.
Nah. Because you're never going to have that All-Century team. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's never going to be a first. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, rest in peace. Like, we don't have Ted Williams. We don't have Tony Gwynn. You know what I mean? That was there, and that was a big part of it, too. And, you know, and some other players, obviously, who were there. But, nah. And then you top it with that. You have all that electricity and excitement from, like, the pregame stuff and how amazing that was. And then you got the game that starts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you got Pedro Martinez on the mound, again, having this great first half of the season, who is not really a fan favorite outside of Boston, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of teams don't like this guy. And very charismatic. I love Pedro Martinez. He's one of my favorite players of all time, man. And, you know, he comes out there and he lights everybody up.
Well,
so we'll get into that.
You know, Jose, when we're looking at baseball, I think all these sports stats is important and people love them, but baseball is like the stats sport. And yep. It's funny because if you look at just Pedro's finishing line, I think people would say at first he shouldn't be considered in that short list of greatest pitchers of all time. But a lot of times to me, what I think we're looking at is we're looking at the greatest of whatever. And there's a few things you put into it, but you're looking at that great player in any sport. And you're looking at the time, the length of it, but you're looking at them at their best versus this other person at their best. And for, you know, sometimes you can say for how long and you do all those things, but we're looking at Pedro Martinez at his best. There's not too many people that he takes a back seat to in baseball history when it comes to pitching.
Oh, absolutely not. Like, he is one of those rare breeds. Like, and we got a chance to see a couple of these guys where, you know, they can get you with power with a high 90s fastball at a time. Where it's not like today. If you're throwing 95, 96 back in, like, you know, mid to late 90s, you had heat. Like, you know, like you were, you know, people considered you, you know, like to have a great arm or whatever the case. But, you know, so a lot of pitchers, great pitchers, and we all know this. If you're watching this, you're listening to this on the podcast, like, we all know most of these great pitchers have, like, some electric stuff, fastball, possibly curveball, you know. You know, if you're lefty, you have that power fastball, you have a great slider to go with that, or a big curveball like Kershaw, somebody like that. But the difference with, like, guys like Pedro Martinez, it's like he had that electric fastball. He had an amazing changeup, one of the best changeups I've ever seen, you know, and he had a great curveball, and he had a great slider. You know what I mean? Like, he has four pitches, total command of those pitches, can throw any of those pitches, any count. You know what I mean? Like, it could be 3-2, he'll hit you with a changeup and your helmet will be flying off because you're swinging so hard waiting for a fastball. Like, he had total control of all those pitches, man. And it was just a beautiful thing to see when you see a guy dominant, have control, and is very confident in his ability, which Pedro was, and doing what he was doing, especially this season.
And there's two things that, you know, we have to look at that make Pedro stand out. A lot of things, but these two. A, his size. When you look at someone who is considered a power pitcher, all the other guys on that list, they're big, you know, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". Randy Johnson, hey, he's 6'10". Pedro, at 5'11", 170 pounds, and was a legit power pitcher. And Jose, you said it. He had every arsenal in there. He could give you with a, you know, the fastball at clocking around 99, 100. But in that changeup at 85 would throw you off too. But Pedro is considered a power pitcher. And for that size, and he fought through a lot of durability things. And to me, it's amazing how long he did play and how deep he would pitch into the seasons at being at what he was throwing, the amount of innings that he was pitching in a year, and the wear and tear that he did play for as long and play as deep as he did is amazing to me. And also, we have to talk at the steroid era when numbers were going through the roof. Everyone, even the other great pitchers of the era, their stats, you know, kind of were still great, but represented what the steroid era was. Pedro pitching in the high-powered AL with the DH. Now there's a DH in the NL now, but that's new.
Not back then.
So the AL was the run-scoring league, and he's playing in these, you know, hitter-friendly parks. Like Fenway, going down to Camden Yards, Yankee Stadium. So doing what he did with all these things stacked against him is truly amazing.
Yeah, I think the average ERA in the American League at that time was like 5. I know in 99 it was 5.02. That was the average ERA in the American League. And then if you want to look at, you know, the difference on what he was doing, he finished with a 2.07 ERA that season, which is, again, like, it's a great season anytime you have it, you know, anytime you have a season like that, ending the season with an ERA that low. But if you consider what we're talking about in what era, where nobody else was really doing this. Maybe Greg Maddux in the National League, Randy Johnson was doing this.
Clemens
was doing this, but even Clemens, like, it's like we kind of know why he was doing that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, and hey, maybe Pedro was juicing. I don't know. I don't think so, though.
I don't think so.
You know what
so.
I mean? Like, I don't think so at all. You know what I mean? And I just think this was all, like, God-given talent. And because he almost didn't break the majors because of what you talked about, of, like, being so small and stuff like that. And it was because of his brother, Ramon Martinez, that, you know, people started looking at Pedro as well. So it's that size thing. He had to really, really battle that early on in his career. And I think it was, what, like, 95 when he finally, like, broke out and had that really good season with Montreal that people were like, all right, like, this dude's legit. But, no, I agree, man. We got to look at the era. We'll give you some more stats because, again, baseball is all about stats, and we definitely have some. But, again, the average ERA in the American League in 1999 was 5.02, and his was 3 runs under that. That should say it all, but it doesn't.
It doesn't. There's so much more.
Yeah.
What I'll say this though, like before we, you know, I know later on, you know, depending, it could be now or later, we're going to get into the actual stats, but a lot of times, and you've heard us when we talk baseball on this show, the battle of, you know, old school watching eyes, you know, and the typical stats versus sabermetrics and the new analytics. And to me, a lot of times when you're looking at individual players, they kind of clash when you're talking about the greatness of a player. The people who saw somebody and they're going by the eye test versus the analytics, and it's like a clash. Pedro's one of those few guys where I think it goes hand in hand. The people who are going by just watching and the old school way of evaluating a great player will put him high. And those who are about the sabermetrics and the analytics, that makes him even greater in their minds.
He'll go past that. Yeah.
And that doesn't really happen. In my opinion, I don't see that happening a lot. I feel like there's a clash with great players often. Pedro kind of fits that mold, and he goes hand in hand where the sabermetrics only enhance his greatness and only makes him look better.
Right. And there's a couple of stats in there that we're going to get into that, but they just blow your mind. And I agree with you, Jeremy. A lot of times you'll get folks like guys like us. I consider us old school, right? We're doing a sports history podcast, and we're big on like the eye test and just, you know, how great this player was against great teams and, you know, postseason, all that stuff gets added into that. And a lot of times these analytical fans, whatever, like they'll try to rip that apart with all types of stats. And again, like, these seasons that Pedro had, again, we're talking about 99, but we're going to get into a little bit of 2000, but he has a great stretch here that we'll talk about towards the end of the episode that, you know, shows how this wasn't like a fluke, and this wasn't like, you know, a one hit wonder type of guy that's coming in and, you know, he's throwing his arm out and that's it. Like, you know, so yeah, but you know, the analytics and sabermetrics, you know, you can really dig into this season even more. And the more you dig into it, the more amazing it is.
Well, we look at 99. He's 23-4. Like you said, 2.07 ERA, 313 strikeouts, and he wins the baseball triple crown. Was that alone?
If you don't know what the triple crown is, Jeremy, why don't explain that a little bit?
Well, that's where, you know, there's triple crown, which is not horse racing. Which is impressive, too. Don't get me wrong, I love watching those races. But for baseball, there's, you know, the hitting triple crown, you know, where you can lead in home runs, RBI, average. And then there's the pitching triple crown where you're leading in wins, strikeouts, ERA. And very few have gotten that. And if you look at the list of people who have won, we'll stick to just, you know, because of Pedro, the pitching ERA. It's a lot of the guys who are on that short list of going for the GOAT, greatest pitchers of all time. And that's where Pedro did in 99. You know, I look at a guy, you can maybe say he could have been there, but like Doc Gooden in 85 got it. And he was on his way to that, but we know, you know, what happened to him. If you haven't heard our 86 Mets episode, check the archives.
Check him.
You know, so we know that, you know, Santana, who was nice for a while, but he's not on that list. But you're looking at a Clemens, a Randy Johnson, Kovacs, Lefty Gomez, Walter Johnson, Grover Cleveland Alexander. These are like guys who built the game.
Right.
And Pedro did it.
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to say, like, once you start getting into, like, the Walter Johnsons, like, some of those guys, like, yeah, they did what they did, and, you know, my hat's off to them. Like, they were great players in their era, you know, and I'm not, like, the type of fan that, you know, this guy was better than this guy because he played when it was Plumbers or whatever, like, people like to say nowadays. And, you know, they played against who they played against, and they were great players. But for me, like, I'm going to elevate Pedro over some of these guys just because, again, like when he was playing, you know what I mean? Like this, again, we're looking at the steroid era where numbers were through the roof. You know, we'll get into, you know, I wanted to mention this later on, you know, later on in the season, in the playoffs, they played the Indians who scored over 1,000 runs. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it was nuts, you know, that offense that they had, but this is the stuff that he's going up against and putting up these numbers, man. It's incredible when you look at it.
I like that shot you took at JJ Redick with the whole Plumbers thing. You know, always getting that shot on the dookie. You know, you can't.
Hell yeah.
By the way, he was wrong for saying that to people, by the way.
He was wrong.
He was wrong. And, you know, shout out to Bob Cousy on a side note.
Because if anything, JJ Redick will be a plumber today. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if we want to really get into that, but
so
not today.
Yeah, or also, you know, people, there's a lot more metrics in the game, but then with the athletes, what they had to go through back then and the struggles of, like, there were no, it's just like, hey, you taped yourself up and you rode the train for hours and hours on a cramped up train, or depending on when, a cramped up plane, and you went out and played and you had to work a second job. Like,
imagine guys like Will and, like, I'm just going to throw random Pistol Pete, guys like that. But Pistol Pete was playing in sandals almost. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at, like, the equipment these guys had, now you got me going. Like, if you look at the equipment, the training, the diet, like, year-round, like, you know what I mean? Like, training, like, these guys have today. These dudes back in the day would have been just as good, or, you know, some would have been probably better than some of these athletes today. So there's a lot more to get into that than, you know, just these guys showing up and they looking like plumbers. Like, no, like,
yeah,
there's a huge difference.
This could be a future episode we got to save for, definitely.
Yeah. You get me going with that.
Me too. But I like the shot at Mr. Redick because, you know, but it goes the other way. We can't get to Pedro. There are things of more modern times that, hey, you got to say were harder and more impressive. And I do agree. In that steroid era, to do what he did is a tip in the cap to people of modern day and to him that, hey, they weren't going against roided up guys back in those days. Like, that wasn't, you know, they were on the greenies, but they weren't juicing like that.
And I mean, on the flip side, like, those guys back in the day were throwing like 400 innings and like 22 complete games. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they had to go through what they had to go through too. There were no relief. There were no closers. You know what I mean? Like, them guys, they got the ball and they had to stay out there. Their arms were like rubber. You know what I mean? It didn't matter. They weren't getting that training that we were just talking about in the NBA. Like, you know, they weren't coming out the game and putting the jacket on the arm to keep it warm. Like, it was none of that. It was, you just go out there and pitch. You know what I mean? So again, like, even if you look at Walter Johnson, let's just say that if he was getting the training and the equipment that Pedro had, you know, who knows how good he could have been. And I'm staying on that name because later on it'll come up for me, which it just, again, like illuminated this season or even the next season that Pedro had when you start talking about guys like Walter Johnson and stuff like that.
No. We look at 99 and you have to also say, you know, and for me, strikeouts are so, they're so huge for a pitcher. And when you have that strike, you get those K's, it's amazing. And
yeah, big time.
He set the record most consecutive innings pitched with a strikeout at 40. So 40 consecutive innings with a strikeout. And that's where, you know, I'll put him, I hate to say it, Jose, but I'm going to put him over a Greg Maddux. I'm going to put him over certain guys because he can bring that. He has that ability to, you know what, if he's in a jam, it's no outs or one out and the bases are loaded, Pedro, yep. You know, Pedro can just start fanning everybody, you know. He has that ability, and that's something that you just – there's nothing to me more, you know, a ground out, grounding into a double play, it sucks, all that stuff, pop it out. But when you strike somebody out and just to see a guy just demoralized, a batter just – either he was just swinging just to swing and he's getting nothing, or the bat doesn't leave his shoulder and he's just looking – that's such that a
demoralizing.
Oh yeah, that's just such a demoralizing thing to a batter and to a whole lineup. That whole team is thinking, can someone just hit something? Can someone just, you know, get the ball in the play? And Pedro had that, especially in this era.
Yeah, it was amazing to see. And then you're absolutely right there. I mean, like, these power pitchers have the advantage of, if it is a bases loaded, nobody out, they can get that one strikeout and then possibly get that double play, and boom, they're out of the inning with no issue. So, and he was definitely one of those pitchers. And what I loved about Pedro too, his aggressiveness, you know what I mean? Like, these pitchers, again, you mentioned Greg Maddux, who was really pinpoint with his, you know, he was really pinpoint hitting all the corners, hitting inside, outside, but you weren't really scared of Greg Maddux. You know what I mean? Like, he was a great pitcher, but with Pedro, you better be careful. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in, you know, very early on in his career, people were calling him a headhunter and stuff like that. He was really wild. He was hitting a lot of guys, especially in Montreal. But he still had that reputation that if you're too close to the plate, he's going to move you back with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. And he wasn't aiming for your leg. He was going up top. Like, you know what I mean? Like, right or wrong, whatever you want to say, it worked. You know what I mean? Because, again, like, from – If you're a batter, you're a hitter, and you're going up there and you're worried about this guy, he could possibly come at you with 96, 97 close to your face, man. Like, you're going to be worried about that. And then when you're up there waiting for that fastball and he throws that changeup, and, you know, you're, like you mentioned there, I mean, you're swinging away to air. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing there. It's the intimidation factor was big time for Pedro. And again, it just blows my mind, because if you look at him, it's like, you're intimidated by this dude. Oh, and then you see him pitch, and it's just like, absolutely. Ah, I get it now.
Now, you know, before we get into the actual, like, those amazing, you know, sabermetrics, I wanted to ask you this question. It can apply to the Triple Crown in pitching or in hitting, but do you think that all these newer statistics that have come out, and it seems like, it feels like they're coming out with new ones more and more,
right, every year almost,
is it going to take away from the Triple Crown, you think? Not for, I guess, people like us who know new school but have the old school, but do you think as time goes on, the Triple Crown may lose a luster because now you have these other stats? So, okay, you led the – so we'll keep it to pitching. You led it in wins, ERA, and strikeouts, but you didn't have – you know, you were third in whip. Or fifth in this one, like, do you think that will happen, or that the Triple Crown will always have that special place?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right, because if you look at some of these pitchers, like you mentioned, like, you know, like, whip is a big deal, like, now, way more now than it was before, like, you know, and we'll get into that. If you're not familiar with it, like, we'll definitely, I have some definitions for you. You know what I mean? Like, if you need them. But, like, FIP is the same thing. Like, you know, like, it's really close to, like, an ERA type of system. And a lot of guys may have a good ERA. I mean, if you have a good ERA, you're probably going to have a pretty good FIP as well. Like, so it's like, but some people look at that more than ERA sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, and that's where you get me. I'm just like, I can't do that. Like, you know what I mean? I respect the stats, and, you know, I'm a big stat guy. Like, if you listen to the show before, you already know. But, you know, especially with baseball, it can really dive deep, man, and you can lose yourself in those stats.
Well, let me ask you this then real quick. How much of it for guys kind of like us? Like, I guess I look at myself as both. I do respect sabermetrics. I don't put it above actually watching someone play. I think sabermetrics a lot of times elevates people too great, where it's like, if he was a good player, people look at sabermetrics. Oh, now he's an all-time, and it's like, whoa, you're skipping. I think if you're good, it can make you very good. Or if you're like a borderline guy to the Hall of Fame, sabermetrics can maybe be like, all right, I'll put you in. But sometimes they're like, well, now he's looking at these stats, he's one of the greatest pitchers to ever, or greatest hitters, or greatest center field, whatever. But do you think, how much of it is for people who are old school, how much of it is stubbornness, or how much do you think that there really is a case when, like, these new stats don't mean anything? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think it's not to give you like a corny answer, but I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's more stubbornness, because I fell into that for sure. And I think we probably talked about this when we did our episode. You know, I can't remember. I think it was off the 30 for 30, the long gone summer, whichever mm-hmm. one that was.
Check the archives.
About it there. Check the archives. Please check them. And I think we talked about it there where it's like, I know for me, I was really stubborn with that. Like, I was like, I can't. I'm not trying to dive into all of that. And I always felt like you had to really be, like, into that stuff. Like, you know, all the numbers. And, like, I just didn't have time to figure all that out either. You know what I mean? So I just knew what I knew when it came to, like, the eye test, ERA, like, all that stuff. You know, I was fine with understanding that game that way. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So for me, it was like the change meant, like, the sport was changing, and I guess I didn't want that. You know what I mean? Like, if that makes sense. So it took me a while, you know what I mean, to really kind of, like, get into that stuff. But once I understood it, once I looked into what WHIP was or ERA plus, you know, like, it made me understand the game a little better, you know. And I still go, when I'm looking at stats, I'm looking at a pitcher, I'm looking at wins and losses, ERA, strikeouts, innings pitched, you know, walks, hits, like, you know, so I'm still looking at those numbers individually. But again, when you have WHIP, you know, you can look at those numbers collectively as well, and that can also help you out. So how about you, Demi?
No, I think it is. I think it's one of those things that there is definitely stubbornness. I think it's one of those, it takes away from my opinion. I'm not saying that you still can't have them in baseball, but it kind of just takes away from that great individual performance. And, like, now it's, like, harder to see. Like, you still can have a great individual performance, but it's just, like, it's harder to see it now. And it's, like, you know, I someone winning the Triple Crown, they're not going to do it the way Pedro did it or Randy Johnson did it. It's going to be a lot less innings pitched. They might have a lot of wins, but the ERA, you know, it's like, okay, their ERA was great, but they got taken out in the fourth or the fifth inning. It's like, well, how, I'm not as impressed where, like, you know, Pedro's going 7, 8, 9 innings. This guy's going 7, 8, 9. It's like, okay, like he that guy's still doing well, but he's pitching 4 or 5 innings. And so
I'll give you a name that's, like, not notorious for that, but, and I know Greg Maddux completed a lot of games, but if you look at his innings pitch and you look at a guy like Pedro or Randy Johnson pitched a lot of innings as well. Like, that was, like, a knock on. And again, Greg Maddux had a lot of complete games. I'm going to say that. But he was also taken out a lot in the 7th, 8th, 9th inning. You know what I mean? And again, he wasn't, like, a power pitcher. So I was surprised when I saw that, because, again, I thought Greg Maddux, again, like, 11 completed games, 12 completed games in the mid-90s, which is, like, a huge deal. Him and Curt Schilling, I can remember, like, for me, like, the last true, like, guys who finished games and closed them out and stuff. But, yeah, he was a name that came up, and I was like, oh, wow, like, Greg Maddux, okay. Like, and you look at guys like Pedro and Randy Johnson, again, Roger Clemens, like, these guys pitched a ton of innings and still got a lot of stuff done. And that's why they helped their numbers a little more. But I agree. I like, again, like, all the stuff that you can dive into with, like, all these statistics can show, it can give you a good case, or it can give you, like, a surprising case, like it did for me with Greg Maddux.
Yeah, and I just think it takes away from those great, and you're just having to really rewire your brain of, like, the classic great performances of an individual player. It's interesting for, I think, like, seeing the strategy now that managers, I'll be honest, I feel like a lot of times that, I'm not saying I totally agree, but a lot of times people had a knock of, like, of the major sports, and I know we're getting a little side, but, like, of the major sports, like, a manager did the least amount compared to, like, in football, basketball, or hockey. And I feel like now, like, managers are having to manage more. It's a game of strategy all around more. And so I do like seeing that. I like that pitchers maybe can be preserved more, players can be preserved. Like, so there are some things I do like about it, but it's just very different. And it really comes down to, it's harder for me to see sometimes the individual greatness.
Yeah, yeah. I again, my default is, you know, I got to look at you. I got to look at you doing it. I got to watch you. I got to, because I, just like you, I know you can too, Jeremy. Baseball for me was my first true love in sports. You know, I was 5 years old playing ball. You know what I mean? Like, and so I can watch a game and just break it down without having any stats. I can just watch it and know exactly what's going on, know what they're going to do, you know, just by looking at the game. And again, like with these statistics, I just feel like that's being taken away. And I just feel like people are just looking at that and go, oh, this dude had a shitty season. And no, like he had a really good season. You know what I mean? Like you're just looking way too far into some other stuff that you don't have to do that. So I'm with you on that.
So when we look at Pedro 99 season, and now I will say this, he's coming off 97. He's in the National League in Montreal winning the Cy Young. 98, he'd be, you know, free agent, comes over. Well, he was approaching free agency, but he came over by a trade to the Red Sox. And he's second in the Cy Young voting there. He loses out to Clemens.
Which is suspect to me.
Which is suspect. But whatever. He's one of three guys to win the Cy Young in both leagues with Randy Johnson and Gaylord Perry. And I wonder, you know, honestly, like you said, a suspect could have won four Cy Youngs in a row.
Right, right. That's a, and again, like he finished like second a couple years after, you know, the 2000 season. Like it was, he had an amazing stretch there. So I'm looking at it. I have it right here. So yeah, he finished. Yeah, 97, like you said, he finished number one. He finished second in 98. He won in 99 and 2000. 2002, he finished second. 2003, he finished third. And then 2004, he finished fourth. Like, this is not like, you know, just a little like this guy had a good couple seasons. Like, this is an all-time great historic run for a pitcher, you know. Yeah. And again, in this era that we're talking about, like, these guys are hitting 73 home runs in the season. Like, let's put this in perspective. Like, this guy had he's an all-time great pitcher, you know. And if I'm picking a starting five all-time pitchers, he's going to be on there for me for sure.
So we went over 99, that, you know, 23-4, 2.07, 313 Ks, pitching in 213 innings. We went over that. Jose, let's go break it down for us. Some of those stats that really the sabermetric and analytic fans can hear that highlight right. How great this season in 99 was even more for them.
So let's look at his whip, right? His whip was 0.923, right, or 1999. So for those of you who are old school like us, and if you listen to a sports history podcast, you probably are, whip is usually like what that whip is, walks plus hits divided by innings pitched. So you can look at, you can do the math on your own. I did it earlier. I wanted to make sure. So I usually like, and you can Google this information again. Like I wanted to make sure I came on here knowing, understanding what I was talking about. But a good whip, an average whip is about 1.30, right? If you're under 1.10, that's a really good whip, right? Well, that's a good whip. Like you're having a really good season. If you're under one, that's an elite season. You know what I mean? So we're looking at 0.93. That's a little bit more than over. That's close to zero. That's almost, you know, you're looking at eights at that point, like 0.8. So that's the whip. Like he had a, that can tell you a lot right there. Again, 13.2 strikeouts per game. I know Jeremy talked about, you know, the strikeout streak and stuff like that. Let me give you another one. He had a 2.43 ERA plus. This is where it gets like crazy for me. I'll be very honest, but. What ERA plus is, I'm just going to read it exactly what it was, how I looked it up. And it just says it takes the player's ERA, normalize it across the entire league. It accounts for external factors like ballparks and opponents. So that's pretty cool. I do like that. So I think the average is 100, you know, so it gives an example. I'll give you an example to kind of make a little more sense. Let's take Mariano Rivera, right? Hall of Fame pitcher, all time great. Career ERA was 1.5% better than the MLB average during the time he pitched, including adjustments and parks, blah, 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 blah. that gives him a career 2.05 career ERA plus, which is best all time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, you could do that math. Again, the average is 100. His ERA was 105% above that. That's like the all-time great. So you're looking at Pedro's again, and the all-time great average is 205. Pedro's for 99 was 243. Like that tells you, and we're talking about Mariano Rivera, who's a closer. We're not talking about, he's not a starter.
Right, that's a big difference.
These are starter numbers, you know what I mean? Like, which is a huge difference, you know? And then you're talking about, now we're talking about FIP. His FIP for the season was 1.39, right? So what FIP stands for is fielding independent.
Which pitcher. I like this one. I like FIP.
So do I, which takes pitcher strikeout, walks, and home runs allowed and translates them into a number scaled to an ERA. So a good FIP, similar to a good ERA, is usually one that's around, you know, the like twos and the low threes, right? So again, that's a good one, the twos, low threes. We're looking at his at 1.39, you know, so it's, this season, man, was one for the record books, man. Like this, the numbers he put up,
and just to say,
any era would have been amazing.
That FIP is the lowest in modern major league history. You know, right. You got to go back to Walter Johnson had a lower FIP.
And let's, I mean, I know we're talking about 99, but in 2000, his WHIP was 0.73, which is an all-time record.
That's the lowest.
He broke Walter Johnson's record, which was like in 1913. So we're looking at, and I know we're talking about 99, but this dude was doing stuff like that you do in video games. You know what I mean? Like this is video game stuff. And he's doing this in a very competitive AL East, right? We have the Red Sox, Yankees, Baltimore is still good at this point. You got Toronto's like here and there, but you know, like you still have some really good offensive teams at that. Cause you know, Baltimore was good offensively, the Yankees, obviously. So, and then you're doing it in the AL again with teams like Cleveland and the Blue Jays and all these other good hitting teams. So, you know, Seattle, mm-hmm. You got a lot of like high powered offenses in the AL, and he's dominating them. Like he's like on the Sunday softball league, man. Like it's crazy, man.
Well, and what I like about like FIP and some of those stats you gave is a lot of times a power pitcher, which Pedro, we said earlier, he is, a lot of times they're also going to give like a lot of walks.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to get strikeouts, which is great, but you're also going to be walking guys because a lot of times when you're that power, sometimes you don't always have the best control with it.
Yep.
Pedro's showing not only is he mastering power, but his control is he's pinpoint accurate in what he's doing out there. So you really are getting the best of both worlds where he's not, you take, you know, I like FIP, defense independent statistic. It's just what he's doing. He's not giving up hits. He's not giving up walks. It's just him striking people out. He's getting them out like that. That's it. Like it doesn't matter if you got the worst second baseman and shortstop combo behind you. He's saying, I don't even care about that. I got this. Like that's pretty much what Pedro was doing in this era.
Yeah. I mean, and if you look at, you mentioned him earlier there. I mean, you know, his innings pitched, right? He had 213 innings, 313 strikeouts, 37 walks. It's fucking insane, dude. Like this shit is crazy, man. Like what this dude was doing, man. Like, and again, we're talking about a guy who early on, if you would have told me in 95, like this guy was going to have 37 walks in a season, I would have laughed at you. This dude was all over the place, you know, and Moises Alou really helped him out. The pitching coach Kerrigan, I forget his first name. He was a pitching coach with the Phillies and Red Sox too. Helped him out as well with that change up and how to kind of, he had like a circle grip to it. And that kind of like transformed his career right there with those two guys helping him out. Cause again, with the Dodgers, he was wild, you know, and you didn't know what you were getting from him. And then when he went to Montreal, they kind of like, you know, they helped him out and taught him a few different pitches and how to grip the ball. And that's what it was. He was throwing like a two seam. Now he has thrown four seam fastball, which gave him better command. And it was over after that. You give that dude with that stuff better command, you're going to get a season like 99.
Absolutely. And, you know, you look at between August 99, April 2000, 10 consecutive starts with 10 or more strikeouts. He was averaging more than 15 strikeouts per 9 innings during that 10, you know, his 10-game streak. So averaging more than 15 strikeouts per 9 innings.
Yeah, his September in 99 was unbelievable, you know. And, you know, September 4th, he pitched 8 innings. Again, you mentioned it. He got 15 strikeouts, 0 earned runs. September 10th was a huge deal, right? He had he pitched 9 innings, gave up 1 hit, 1 home run against the Yankees, and struck out 17 in Yankee Stadium. And, you know, the 15th of September that year, through 7 innings, had gave up 2, you know, had 2 runs, 2 earned runs, 14 Ks. The 21st of that September, pitched 9 innings, 0 earned runs, 12 strikeouts. The 27th, you know, he pitched 8 innings, 1 earned run, 12 strikeouts. And this was a big deal. I'm sorry, Jeremy, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, because you brought up what he did against the Yankees. Now, this is the Yankees at that dynasty, pure run, right? All those things. They won 4 titles in 5 years, all that. And what always bothered me is I remember watching these games live where he's outdueling Clemens and, you know, later on, but he's holding this. He's making the Yankees look silly. Jeter, O'Neill, Martinez, Bernie Wood, they can't hit anything against them. So then later on in his career when he, you know, lost to the Yankees, he made that comment, you know, they're my daddy, and they kept Yankee.
Who's your daddy?
Yeah, you know, yeah, Yankee fans kept doing the whole who's your daddy chant. I go, how can you say that? This guy owned you. At your heyday, he was dominating right. You, and he, like to me, like you knew Pedro was sliding down at this point in his career, from, you know, from all time great to still a great pitcher. But it's like I could never get down with that because I'm like, not only was he just getting the wins, he was holding you to one hit games at your heyday, right. Like a few years earlier. So to me, when they're doing the "Who's Your Daddy" chat, I'm like, it never made sense to me because I'm like, he's your daddy, like Pedro is your daddy.
But it was cool. I thought it was cool. I thought that was like a good little back and forth they had going on.
Well, the rivalry was great, but I just never – I mean, I loved Pedro. So to me, it was like it didn't make any sense to me because if I'm a true fan, it's not like – oh, that was 15 years earlier. He was like, that was a couple years earlier. Y'all couldn't get the ball in play. Y'all couldn't get the ball in play. You know, I mean, he like almost no-hit y'all like multiple times. Like, so I'm like, come on, don't have that short term memory loss here now.
Yeah, he made one mistake in that game on the 10th with the Chili Davis and gave him a home run. If it wasn't for that, it would have been an ugly no hitter, man. 17 strikeouts. That's nasty, man. But that was a big deal because a lot of the stuff that you were here, you were talking about it earlier, Darren, was the durability factor. Is this guy, you know, with his size and the way he pitches the ball, is he going to constantly keep running, like run out of fumes at the end of the season? And this was the year where he kind of was like, he was showing him a little different. Cause I believe like I think 98 and 97, even though he had great seasons,
he would flame out.
Yeah. His ERA was like over 3.5 in September. Like this was the season. I think his was like, it was under 1, obviously, if you look at those numbers, but yeah, he had an amazing run from 99 from the start. Again, we're going to get into the All-Star game in midseason.
Yeah.
And he had an amazing end of the season, too.
Well, let's look at the All-Star game right now because.
Let's do it.
I think you're already feeling that nervousness because you are. I don't care what anyone says. You know, you're the pitcher who's opening that. And if you're those first 3 batters because you know you're getting up there to start off the game, there's going to be those nerves.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, the All-Star game, but this was special. It was the All-Century team, which I'll give MLB then hype the hell out of it, and rightfully so. So it was a lot of hype, and, you know, for guys who love sports history, a lot of debate of, like, who's on it, who should be, is Pete Rose going to be on it, should he be? It was a lot of fun at that time. So you go into it where, like, everyone wanted to see about the All-Century team, and then you bring out Ted Williams. And for everybody, you know, Pedro said he got an autograph from Ted Williams. He got to meet, you know, the All-Century team guys and all those things. So it's just fascinating, like, to be able to come down from all that excitement, all that buzz. There's a lot – people are crying in the stands. And then you're looking at who he's facing to start it off.
Yeah.
You know, Hall of Famer Barry Larkin.
10-time All-Star, a guy who was extremely difficult to strike out, you know what I mean? Always had contact. I think his highest strikeout in a season, I believe it was less than 70.
Yeah.
You know, so this dude put the ball in play, you know, he was a great leadoff guy. That's why he's leading off the All-Star game. But right away, you know, and also, like, when you have a pregame like that and you talking to all these amazing players and, you know, that's got to get you going. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a great today, you know, so I think that gave Pedro a little extra juice, and he came out throwing. As you can see, he's barely taking time. Like, here, he's, you know, rubbing the ball a little bit, but he was catching the ball. Let's go. Catching the ball. Let's go.
And I think that's where it can go. You're right. I think it helped him, Jose, but it could easily have gone the other way because right. He's just going. So, at this point, he's 15-3 going into the game, the All-Star game. But, you know, it could have gone the other way, and I would understand it because I'm looking at, like, it's hard to come down from what you just saw and the whole world watching you. But, you know, like, you're right. Like, Barry Larkin in the Hall of Fame for a reason and great defensive player, but like you said, was going to get the ball, not a strikeout guy, you know, and Pedro fanned him. And you got Larry Walker, who's in the Hall of Fame. And some people take shots at Larry because he played at, you know, good old Coors in Colorado. But Larry Walker's a great hitter. Yeah, I give him credit.
He was a great hitter. He was a great hitter before he went to Colorado. He was those last seasons in Montreal, he was an All-Star. So,
yeah,
you know, he was a great hitter. And we'll get into his numbers this season when he comes up the bat. But you're looking at that National League lineup. You know, it's not as stacked as the American League lineup, but you got, you know, two guys in the middle there who were hitting the ball out of the ballpark, and Sosa and McGuire in record numbers at this time. And, you know, we all know what they did and what happened there. But if you put those two guys there, you got Larry Walker hitting in front of them. Like, it's got Jeff Bagwell hitting behind those guys. Like, it's still a formidable, like, you know what I mean? Like, lineup. And there he goes, that changeup right there. And after facing like four straight fastballs of over 96 miles an hour, how can you lay off an 85 mile an hour changeup? And niggas, the lineup right here. Yeah.
Larkin, Walker, Sosa, McGuire. You got Matt Williams, and then you get Bagwell. You know, you know, that's who he was facing. And, you know, with the Roids, you're taking out Sosa, McGuire for the Hall of Fame. But, you know, you look at Larkin Hall of Famer, Walker Hall of Famer, Jeff Bagwell in the Hall of Fame.
Which, he should be in a conversation with the Roids. Like,
I think, you know, so, too. I think, I mean, so, too.
So, but if you look at his American League lineup, whew, look at those players, man.
Oh, it's totally, it's not even fair.
Yeah.
The AL was just better at this point. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, the AL was better.
So you got Larry Walker here already taking one strike. So this is ugly. Boom. 98, strike two. And they can't even put his stats up fast enough, man. This guy's hitting 382.
Leading the majors at the time.
77 RBIs. And this is the All-Star break, you know? But, you know, this is strike two already. And go ahead, you got to go. Like, that's it. He's going to be gone soon. Like, yeah, it's just he's painting these corners, man. And these guys, he looks lost up there, man. Go, you're gone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he knew it. And that's the worst strikeout right there, Jeremy. That's what you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that looking at the pitch, guessing, and you don't know what's coming. And then, boom, 95. 96, 97, right in the corner.
Yeah, there's no argument. That's the thing. He can't even fake that. Larry Walker couldn't be like, oh, it was, you know, he just marched your ass right back to the dugout. That's all it was. And that's a guy who, to me, he just recently got in the Hall of Fame, should have been in the Hall of Fame.
Great player.
These are great players here, great hitters, and he's embarrassing them. And we know where Sosa is at this point, what he did in 98, and he's the man at this point. You know, he's the MVP of last year. Last year's NL pitch, MVP.
This next pitch is disgusting. 32 home runs at the All-Star break.
Like, yeah, leading the major league of the All-Star.
Look what he does to this dude. Oh, he buckles him. Like, literally buckled him. See that? He take a deep breath. Like, I'm in trouble, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, buckled Sosa like that, man. That's amazing, man. Like, what this guy was doing. And he definitely highlighted that, man. Oh, man, what nasty. That looked like a wiffle ball.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's what Pedro can do to you, man. You know, then he hits you with 96 up high. Like, it's not even fair, man.
It's impressive. And let's be real, not all all-star games or teams are created equal. So he could have done this against, like, hey, still the all-star game, but not that great of a lineup. This is a great lineup here, man. Like, and you put Royds in there, it makes it even more, honestly, it adds to it. That these guys, the ball was probably looking like softballs to Sosa and McGuire.
Right, right. You know? Yeah, exactly. And then he doesn't face the, like, you can look at the lineup. You got Jay Bell at the end. Like, all right, like, you can say he doesn't face these guys. He's facing the heart of the lineup, mm-hmm. you know, and their best players gone.
And gets it, retire in the side. So you strike out Larkin, Hall of Famer, Larry Walker, Hall of Famer, Sammy Sosa. One of the all-time leading home run, over 600 career home runs, and you make all those guys look silly. Like, honestly, Jose, and I always try to clarify, like, us as the common folk, we don't do what these athletes do, but I really do think we could not have done worse than three really Hall of Fame caliber players right there. Like, we could not have done worse.
And he's blowing them away. Like, he just blew away Mark McGuire there. You know what I mean? Like, he had him 1-2 and just went straight fastball right down the middle. And McGuire cannot keep up with it, man. And that's just, again, like, the power that he had back behind that fastball.
And remember, that's after McGuire tore the house down the night before at the home run derby when he, you know, just crushing it. He was just in the zone. McGuire was, you know, Sosa and McGuire were the guys at this point.
Matt Williams comes and messes everything up.
Robbie Alomar.
Yeah, and Robbie
butchers it. I love Robbie, but come on now.
Yeah, it was all right.
This, you know, ruining it for Pedro.
Yeah. But it gave us one more batter for Pedro. That's what all that does.
And a guy who, Jeff Bagwell. I have issues with Jeff. I have issues with Bagwell. I really do.
What are the issues, man? You might as well bring them up. Can't say something like that.
Well, I don't know. I just really, obviously the steroids, but then I just feel like, to me, Bagwell was good.
Yeah.
I really,
this dude. He looks like a fullback, man.
He really,
like,
does.
Come on, man. Like, none of that matters. That was a ball, but he gave him to him.
But I just look at Bagwell, to me, as a really good player. And I feel like a lot of people just try to swing that whole 90s Astros into it. And I like Craig Biggio, but they got all this, like, sympathy later on. And a lot of people, to me, are – Bagwell has some numbers, but watching Bagwell every day, I never put him on, like you know, comparing Jeff Bagwell to Frank Thomas, I never saw that. You know, I never saw Bagwell.
Yeah, not even close. Not even his MVP season. I was like, no.
No,
like,
I'm good. I just never could see a Bagwell being that guy. And that's with, to me, later on, saying that the Royd comparison. And I'm just like, well, how did he get in? He's not sullied by that. And I know Mike Piazza has that too, where it's like he's in there, but it didn't stop him. But I never was big on Bagwell.
Buck with Bagwell there too. Like, this is, on a side note, I used to love those Houston ass, those uniforms right there. I love them. Those were good. That's a good hat.
I hate those Astros jerseys. I really do. I hate them.
Great color scheme.
Oh, I used to debate. I was always in the minority on that because I knew people who would buy that hat from, like, Lids and it's the Astro. And I'm like, what a waste. Like, I was like, I don't want that. You could give me that hat. I wouldn't wear it. I'd be like, I never liked it.
I played on a team. We were the Astros. We all had like the fitted hats. That was like good hats. Navy blue, man. That was nice. Yeah,
I think those they
you like those tied jerseys. That's what it was.
Whose jerseys?
Those Astros tied colored looking.
I do not like. I like them better than these though. I'll rather wear that tied than these current the 90s Astros. They were, especially their road jerseys. People off.
I don't see that. That's where again we're. Check the archives, man. We don't agree on a lot of jerseys. But this is where you're going to see some great players here. Boom, strikeout, Pudge, Robbie, bam.
Getting out.
Doesn't get any better than that. Puerto Rico, stand up.
But this is a great moment in MLB history. A great moment for Pedro. You know, facing it's six hard. Batters. And you strike out five. And, you know, three of them are in the Hall of Fame.
Right. And you smoke them. You don't just strike them out. You smoke them, man. You embarrass them. And that's, again, that's why I love the MLB All-Star, man, because you get that. You get these matchups like this, and you get a chance to see Pedro against, like, again, Mark McGwire, who at the time was, you know, Big Mac and king of the home runs, and made him look stupid. You know, then you get the flip side of that, where sometimes you get those great pitchers, and you get these great hitters, and the dudes hits a bomb. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so much fun to watch that individual matchup. It's just, that's why I love that baseball All-Star game.
But, Jose, what I think is that is always the highlight that people show of 99. And I understand why, but it shouldn't be.
Nah, I agree. I know where you're going with this.
You got to go to why I say Pedro, because, hey, you know, the Triple Crown, the Cy Young, MVP, those are regular season awards. And to me, that's where it should stay, regular season. But for anyone wondering where Pedro stacks, my man did it in the playoffs and did it hurt and banged up and did it even more dominant and against a great team, great teams, great offensive teams, and was pretty much what you saw in the All-Star game clip. He was doing that in the divisional series. He has a great offensive Indian team. You know, half those guys are on the juice and we're just getting all these things. And against the dynasty, the next round against the Yankees, that's what no one to me talks about anymore when it comes to 99. And honestly, Pedro's greatness is, you know, four shutout innings. You know, the Red Sox are up 2-0 in that that opener, and he winds up being hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt in game one, hurt his back or something like that. And, you know, and that was, again, we're talking about the durability factor. And this is where biggest part of the season, right? You're in the playoffs and now, you know, your ace is hurt. So then again, you're going up, your ace is hurt against probably one of the best offensive teams of all time in those Cleveland Indians. And we talked about Robbie Alomar, like, you know, Jim Tomei, like we could keep going and going Manny. And going with these names. Manny, right? You got two all-star starters. You know what I mean? Like Manny and, you know, Robbie were starting in that game. So you're going up against that team, right? And then now you have no Pedro. So what's going to happen now, right? So you talked about, I think it was game three that he came in? Game five. Right? He comes in and, you know, the Indians are doing what the Indians do. They have like five runs in two innings. But Boston was also scoring a lot of runs as well. So they kept the game kind of close at like 8-8 and then, I'll let you go ahead and
it's
finish.
It's 8-8 after three innings. And then all of a sudden you see him just like it's that people talk about, you know, and Kirk Gibson had that Roy Hobbs moment in the 88 World Series. And he did. He had one at bat. Pedro is warming up. It's 8-8. Runs are being scored all over the place. And you just see the Gipper. He's warming up in the bullpen, getting ready.
But that's the crazy part, though. Nobody saw this coming.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just so cool. Like, it was, like, really eerie. Like, you can see him, and you see, like, there's a camera back there, but the camera's, like, dark. You know what I mean? Like, there's not great lighting there. And you just see Pedro come out and shaking up a little bit, grabbing the rosin bag, and, you know, it's getting ready to warm up. And the announcer's like, oh, we see Pedro in the bullpen warming up. And, like, you're like, what? Pedro coming in this game? Yes, he does.
And the guy is banged up. He's hurting. And he's not able, Jose, to throw his fastball or changeup against this team. So what's he do? He gives you six no-hit innings. He no-hits in the deciding game of the divisional series against, like you said, an all-time offensive team. Pedro banged up, comes out there, and pretty much wills his team to victory. Six, you know, no hit in the playoffs.
Yeah, it wasn't like he stopped the bleeding a little bit. Like, no, he shut him down. Like, it was game over. Hey, I'm Pedro Martinez. This game's done. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I remember watching this game, and I was just like, holy shit. Like, this dude, I knew he was an all-time. Like, I knew he was great at this point. I don't want to say all-time great, but I knew he was great at this point. This put him next level up. You know what I mean? Like, it was just an impressive performance.
Yo, the thing that I can compare it to was something that happened a few years earlier, but it still wasn't, it wasn't as mysterious. I think like it was kind of telegraphed a little bit, but it was still awesome. I think of the 95 division series, Yankees Mariners, and that game five, you know, where Lou Piniella then brings out the big unit, Randy Johnson, and the King Dome goes crazy. But you kind of knew Lou had done that, and yeah. Lou was going to do that. And they were home, where in this game, Pedro and Boston's on the road. But it had that feeling where, you know, Randy kind of walks out the bullpen. It's like John Wayne, you know, taking the mound. But
it's like the Wild Thing.
Yeah, you know, it's just like Randy had that walk, just 6'10 coming down. But, you know, Pedro's a foot shorter, but Pedro, that's what it kind of felt. It was like, uh-oh, like, he's even banged up. You still were like, uh-oh. Like, there was a mystique, and that's something that it's like great players have, but there's something about a great pitcher in baseball. It's different. You know, I think of, like, you think of, like, shutdown corners in football where, like, uh-oh, he takes away the side.
Yeah, it's over. Like, you know? Yeah, you know, going into the week, it's like, if you got him in fantasy, you're not starting him. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things. Like,
but with baseball, when you have that great ace, that great pitcher, when it's just like, and, you know, your team's facing them, regular season or playoff, it's just like, uh-oh. And you know, in the playoff time, you're pretty much chalking those games up as L's. Well, we know Pedro's going to win one game for him. So, all right, whatever game.
Right.
He's going to win that one. And then can we win a round? And they couldn't. And despite the fact that he probably would have gotten at least game three or game four if he was healthy. He didn't start this game, but coming in, and he didn't just do a little relief. You know, Randy Johnson came in for a few innings.
Right.
Yeah, I think he had two or three, and I'm going off the dome here in that 95 divisional.
Yeah, I think it was three at most.
Yeah, six no-hit innings to wrap up the series.
Yeah, it's all-time stuff. You know what I mean? Like, and if you're pitching for like an organization in a city like Boston, like stuff like that, just you don't forget that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, and if I was a Boston Red Sox fan, man, like that's a game like that means like that much to me. Now they didn't win the World Series. I know later on they do, but you know, still like what he did and he put that team on his back. Cause again, their pitchers were getting rocked. Like, you know what I mean? Like they were getting rocked and he comes in. And not only like stops the bleeding, but he just shuts them down, man. Like it was just, it's all time great, like an all time great performance. That again, what we do here, people don't talk about this performance a lot. They go into all these other, you know, they go into the All-Star game, they go into Don Zimmer stuff. Like this stuff right here is the stuff of legend, and that's why I know I feel about him. You do too, Jeremy. It's like this dude is an all time great pitcher,
and he winds up. The Red Sox faced the Yankees, who wound up being the eventual champs in the ALCS. He outduels, and you know, he dueled Roger Clemens a lot in those Yankee Red Sox wars. He outduels Clemens, pitched seven shutout innings. The Red Sox win that game. That's the Yankees' only loss of that whole 99 postseason, was to Pedro Martinez. And yeah. They say, "Who's your daddy, huh?"
Well, he said it first, so that's, I get it. Like, but he should have never said that shit. Like, he was just,
he shouldn't have said it, but to me, the fans still had nothing to hold on that. Like, you're right. He shouldn't have said it. It was a moment of just being candid and on camera, and it was a great quote, and there's a lot of play great out quote. Of it. Yeah. I get it. But to me, if I'm a true Yankee, that's what, even back then, I'm not a Yankee fan, but, you know, being so close in proximity, you always heard a lot of Yankee talk radio, and I'm just like, how do you guys forget that this guy is like this, like 99, yeah. He's dominant. Like you have a long way to go to flip this narrative, to be his daddy. Cause he owned you. I mean, you're in the dynasty era. The one guy you knew who was beating that Yankee team was Pedro Martinez.
Right. And they knew it too, mm-hmm. you know, but that's how great he was. And again, this isn't like the Boston of like, 5 or 6 years later when they're like super loaded and they're getting all free agents. Like this is, you know, this Boston team was good, but you know, you had a young man and you don't have David Ortiz yet. Like, you know what I mean? Like all this stuff is coming and it's pretty much like Pedro and Nomar, you know what I mean? At one point, Nomar Garcia-Para and, you know, that was pretty much
that
it.
Was it.
Like, you know what I mean? That was pretty much it. And, you know, he was, again, he won 23 games. I think the Red Sox won 84 games that season. I mean, look.
They won 90-something, I think.
94, 94. I'm sorry.
I think the next 94. Year was like 84, 86.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I mean, he's, again, man, he's the guy, though. Like, he's their superstar. Like, this is the guy. This is the type of pitcher that when he pitches, like, you're going to watch. Like, in most of these games, especially against the Yankees, like, you know, they were all – ESPN Baseball Tonight was all over that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Fox was all over that. Like, it was just great and fun to watch him pitch because, again, you never knew what you were going to get. You knew you were going to get greatness, but you just didn't know how. If it was going to be power, if it was going to be, like, throwing that changeup all night, like, it – and I can't imagine trying to hit against that, like, not knowing what he's – again, four pitches, control all four pitches. You don't know what he's doing. So, again, that's why he's great. And that's why we're talking about him on this podcast.
Well, and real quick, there's a couple of things you want to do. But just you look at 2000 season. And now he wins the other Cy Young. Because, yeah, I just want to say, because there's debate on this. Because 99, everyone listening, you heard us go over that season. All right, put that where it's at. Keep it in front of your brain, too. But 2000, he wins the Cy Young. He has a 1.74 ERA. And a lot of people will say, Jose, that 2000 is a better year than 99. Do you agree with that?
Nah, I'm going to go with 99. Again, the ERA is a little higher, but you know he's got four losses. You know what I mean? That season, and the crazy part with 2007, Clemens finished second in ERA that season with 3.70, like literally almost two runs, like from first to second. Like it's an amazing season. You know what I mean? Like that 2000 season is great, but. You know, I still got to go with that 99 season again. Like, you know, the strikeouts are a little bit – are there more. You know what I mean? Like, the ERA, the wins are there. I mean, the ERA is a little higher, but the wins are there. The losses are better in 99. That's just me. What about you there? I mean, that's what I wanted to ask you earlier anyway.
I honestly – I might go with 2000 only because for this. If you look at the losses he had – yeah, he lost four of those. There was one-run games. The Red Sox are a worse team in 2000. They don't make the playoffs. He gets out-dueled by Andy Pettit twice, and, like, he just gets no help. You really can look at it and say Pedro didn't pitch a bad game in that 2000 season. Where 99, he barely did. He had, like, maybe one. I think, like, the Marlins.
Yeah, one.
The Marlins got him, you know, in 99.
Gave up seven runs.
Yeah, like, in 2000. You can look and say he did not pitch a bad game, and he just had no help, and he sets the record, like you said earlier, in whip. And also, I think it's always something, and we see it in sports, and I think we had this conversation with teams, but I think also with players. 99 was, whoa, I don't say out of nowhere because he had won a Cy Young, so he, you know, people knew him, but okay, he had that year. But then now everyone knows, okay, Pedro's the man. There's the mystique. You know, it's the hot ticket, you know, in Boston. Pedro's pitching. You got to go to Fenway. It's the hot ticket on TV. Pedro's pitching. You got to watch it. At this point, Pedro is lead in the summertime. He's leading SportsCenter. You know, I remember Dan Patrick and, you know, Stuart Scott. Everybody thought, Pedro, you want to watch SportsCenter to see what Pedro did. So then the repeat, to have a repeat type of performance – I always think when you can repeat, that's even more impressive than the first year you did it. So for that reason.
The adjustments are made. Yeah, the adjustments are made. Like, they have everything on you. Guys are gunning for you the next season. Like, because if you can get a hit or home run off of this type of dude, like, that's saying something about you as well. I know. I like that. I agree with that. Again, for me, like, pitch less innings had – like almost 20 more strikeouts, maybe a little more than that. You know, the ERA plus in 2000 is nasty. It's 291.
Yeah.
Like that's nasty, man. So in those Sabre metric stats, like the 2000 season is a better season. Like if you look at it from that point of view.
I just think because, and this with the next kind of topic, I look at, are you getting that run support? Do you have a team around you that's helping, or is it really you? And the Sox took a dip in 2000. And honestly, you look at it, he rose up, you know, with his team going down, he kind of is like, he knew he had to play even better than he did the year before, which was a triple crown year. So, I mean, I love both years. They're, to me, you're having two of the top 10 pitching seasons ever. And both yeah. of them, they're both would make my top 10 list of baseball's best pitching seasons. So, I mean, you got to give it to the man. But by this little much, the little slim, I'll give 2,000.
It's tough, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a good argument. It's a good debate. I know a lot of people kind of fall where you're at with the 2000 season. You know, again, like that 99 season, it's I mean, they're both amazing seasons. Like, you know, those are two all-time great seasons for any pitcher, let alone the same pitcher having that back-to-back years. And it's again, you talked about 97, he wins that, you know, Cy Young. In 98, he finished second to a guy who was juicing. You know what I mean? Like, so
let's compare this season, or you could, let's compare 99. If you want to throw in 2000, Jose, whatever. But let's compare this to some of the other pitchers' all-time great seasons and see right. is 99 or 2000, whatever one you want to use, is that the number one season in your mind opinion?
In my opinion, immediately I'm going to say not. It's not number one, but it can be number two, like for sure, but...
Do you have a slam dunk one?
I have 100% a slam dunk one. You should too.
I'm wondering. All should. I'm wondering. All should. If we have the same one.
I'm going to take Bob Gibson's 68 season.
That's not mine.
That's mine. That's mine. No rap. No bottom line. Like. We can look at numbers and all that. 22-9, 1.12 ERA, which is the lowest of all time. You know, 304 innings pitched, 368 strikeouts, 13 shutouts, Cy Young and MVP. Come on, man. Like, pitches drags that Cardinals team. When you talk about, you know, like, help and, you know, run support and all that, he had none of that.
Yeah, only Kurt Flood was batting over 300 in that lineup.
Right, and no 20 home run guys. Like, you know, it's, you know, he drags that team to Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah.
It's another all-time great season. And Denny McClain, you know. But even in that series, like, you know, the first game he shut Detroit out. The second game, I think he threw a one-run complete game or whatever.
And they finally got him in Game 7, but...
Got him in Game 7, yeah.
No, he's... Yeah, that's
a tough one, man. Like, to get over that, you know what I mean? Like...
He's in my top three. He's high. And that's... I don't knock the number one if you give it to him. What I got to give it to is Steve Carlton, 72. All
right. And that's a good argument. And that's... that. You're not going to get an argument here, but... Well, you're going to get a little bit of argument.
Because I look at...
I can't put that over that one.
27-10, 1.97 ERA, 346 innings pitched. He had 310 Ks, 30 complete games, 8 shutouts, win the Cy Young. He's a Triple Crown winner that year himself. He won 27 games. I'll say this, the Phillies won 59 games.
Yeah, that's for the whole year right there. That's the stat right there. That from like,
that's why I give it to him. Without Steve Carlton, this is probably over the 62 Mets, over the 88 Orioles. That's the worst team in baseball history. You can make a case it's still one of the top 5 or 10 worst baseball teams.
It's a top 5
yeah.
all time worst teams.
And so it's the hands down number one without. So to do that with that historically bad team. And you lead the league in wins, ERA, game started, complete games, inning pitch, let them in hits allowed, let them in strikeouts, let them in strikeout to walk ratio, all with nothing behind you. I mean, nothing behind you. I think lefty is not talked about enough as far as a great pitcher. A guy who for a long time was neck and neck with Nolan Ryan as like the strikeout dominant guys in the game, you know? And I also just feel like this season, one thing I'll say, Bob Gibson 68 is not overlooked. And it shouldn't be. And I'm glad it's not.
It's not, though. It's not.
Yeah. People talk about Gibson, and they talk about Gibson in 68. I really feel like outside of some old school people in Philly, no one mentions nearly enough what Steve Carlton did in 72.
Yeah, he had 27 wins, but 30 complete games. You know what I mean? Like, so that tells you there was a couple other games in there where he would have had a better team. He would have had more wins, you know.
Yeah, he's winning 30 games. It was a slightly better, a decent team. He's doing what Denny McClain did in 68.
Right, right. That's a great season. I'm not arguing that, but I just can't put that over Gibson's season. But I hear you. It's a really good argument. Like, I'm not calling you crazy.
I just think Gibson, and rightfully so, I'm glad, you know, you brought it up. We talked about he that was not one of those great, you know, banner years for the Cardinals who were having great success in that time.
Right.
That wasn't that kind of year. So, you know, Gibson did lead them to win the pennant. Like, so that's why I will never knock anyone calling that number one. And that's in my top three, you know, and it's up there to me. Honestly, I look at that and I got to look at Koufax in 66.
Yeah.
You know,
that's another one. Yep.
Just
because we talked about like one hit wonders, and I know Denny McClain had some issues. You know what I mean? Like some issues that he had to deal with, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and that kind of derailed his career, him winning over 30 games, you know what I mean? That 68 season. So, you know, he went 31-6, but that Koufax one is another all time great one. So I'll let you talk about that. Cause you brought that one up, but that's a good one too.
You know, he went down, honestly. He had 317 strikeouts in that year, down from 382.
Yeah,
you know, he wound up going 27-9. He had a 1.73 ERA, 27 complete games, Cy Young winner, second in MVP. You know, honestly, in his the last dance, you know, we had the last dance with Michael and all that 98. This was the last dance for him because after this, he, you know, retires, and you know, one of the great what ifs. We got a little bit that 3-year run of, you know, who maybe the guy we're talking about, Pedro, can kind of compete, could be like someone close to compete with it, but maybe the best 3-year run of a pitcher in history. Maybe you could put it up there, one of the best 3-year runs of an athlete in sports history, and this was completing it. And, he's doing all this where you know his arm is really just falling apart, and it's to the point where he can barely lift it, and he's just willing his team to get there. And he says afterwards, you know, he couldn't lift his arm to comb his hair, and that was really a wrap for Sandy. So all the pain, and these pitchers, especially, you know, back then, they're feeling it, but we know especially where Sandy's pain was, and that's why, you know, hey, you could say he went down from to 317 from 382, you know. And so that's why I give Sandy, because this is the culmination, that third year in a row of historic dominant pitching. So that season to me is up there on that Mount Rushmore of great pitching seasons for a lot of reasons.
That it is an all-time great season. And you know, that also added to like that lore of Sandy Koufax, and that's why like real old school players, I mean, you know, fans, that's their guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the one they talk about, and I agree. I feel like that's the big reason why, is because again, like we got denied to watch like a obviously Hall of Fame great career, but you know, it's definitely a shame. But you know, there's a lot of lefties on this, you know, this list that we're talking about. And
well, I am a lefty, so I had to put that out there too.
Are you? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that's why you have that terrible handwriting. It makes sense now.
Well, no, I'm ambidextrous. I write neat with my right, but all sports are left-handed. So I throw football lefty, golf, bat lefty, yeah. Shoot lefty.
Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. One thing we learned today. Jeremy Doves for Sandy Koufax.
Gotta love for the lefties.
Yeah. But another one I'll bring up, and I know somebody that you're a big fan of is, you know, Randy Johnson, that 0-2 season, you know, where he went 24-5, had a 2.32 ERA, 260 innings pitched, 334 Ks, you know, almost 12 strikeouts per nine innings, won the Cy Young Award. You know, this is the Arizona Diamondback season. And, you know, like people argue this may not be his best season, but this is one of the best, you know, one of his best seasons for sure. Like I think
triple crown winner,
triple crown winner. Exactly. So, you know, that's another, you know, and his strikeouts, those 334 were like seventh best, you know, in the live ball era. So it's another great season. But again, those lefties can do that to you, man. And not to like hype you up, but you know, you have that lefty with a great fastball, man, and a nasty curve or slider, and you're going to have, teams are going to have a lot of trouble trying to deal with that. And then if you look at a lot of these pitchers, man, you talked about Steve Carlton, Koufax, Randy Johnson, like, you know, all left-handed pitchers, man, they're going to give you a lot of trouble. So another great pitching performance, another great season.
No, from the 90s to current day, Pedro and Randy Johnson are my one and two for starting pitching. They're, you know, I maybe probably would take the unit one. You know, it's debatable. It's hard. I don't know. But like those are the two guys from. If I go from 1990 to present day, I'm looking at those two as my guys, as the best starting pitchers I've seen.
I gotta argue with you a little bit there, man. But I'm putting Pedro there for sure. I'm going to bump Greg Maddux up there over Randy Johnson.
And wow.
We've had this debate. We've had this debate before. So I don't want to get into this again.
Please. Randy. Oh, man. Over the unit. I don't know. I just think in 01, when the Diamondbacks won the World Series, if that's a Schilling Maddux combo, not Schilling Randy Johnson, do they do that? Do they go that far? Do they beat the Yankees with Schilling and Greg Maddux?
Maybe.
See, I think definitely not. They definitely don't win that series. And I just think, you look at what Randy just did, you know, you're not to what Pedro did in 99 against the Indians, what Randy did in 95 in the ALDS against the Yankees. You're not doing that with Greg Maddux. It was John Smoltz was the guy who did that for the Braves. You know, Greg Maddux just didn't have that oomph and that blow away and that clutch that those two guys had for me. Greg Maddux is a great all-time pitcher. And
right, you don't need that to be a – yeah, like
– he's an all-time
pitcher.
He had tremendous
control, something that definitely Randy Johnson didn't have. And you don't – you know, you can get that all-time great big unit, one performance, and then the next night, you know, you can get Randy Johnson throwing shit over John Kruk's head. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't – I know for a while that he had that under control, but, you know, you talk about Greg Maddux. Now, I know you're going to point at, like, playoff performances, and look, you're right about that. Like, the dude came up short when it came – Greg Maddux, I mean, when it came to the playoffs. And, you know, we talked about this a lot in our 90s Braves episode. Check the archives.
Check them.
You know, we broke this down a little bit, but again, like, if you're asking me, I'm going to take Greg Maddux, man, over Randy Johnson.
Nah, I hear you. And the thing is, that's how we were blessed in that 90s era.
Right.
That, you know, the four of them, I'm going to put in, Clemens still, he came in the 80s, but he's a big part of the 90s, dominated the 90s great. Clemens, Maddux, Unit, and Pedro. And that's leaving off a Glavin and a Smoltz and, you know, Schilling, other great pitchers. But we saw, to me, all four of those guys are on that short list. If you're looking at 15 to 20 greatest pitchers of all time, those four are on there. So, you know, I knock it, but Greg Maddux is on the short list of greatest pitchers ever. I just think in his era, he played with three other guys who are also three of the greatest pitchers ever, and he's fourth, but he's still a top 10, 15 pitcher in the history of the game, in my opinion. So I say this for everyone. I'm not here to knock Greg Maddux. You know, I may sound like I am, but overall, I can't knock him. You know, he's an all-time great pitcher for sure.
Very similar stats, him and Randy Johnson. Like, career, like, all-time career, like, wise. And it's a very interesting conversation. This is not the only place where we've had, like, where this debate has been had. You know, a lot of people always, these are the two guys that they kind of, like, go against each other. And very, very similar careers. Greg Maddux played 23 seasons. Randy Johnson played 22. ERA, Greg Maddux, 3.16. Randy Johnson, 3.29. All-time record, Greg Maddux, 355 wins, 227 losses. Randy Johnson, 303 and 166. But he's got that World Series, you know what I mean? I mean, Greg Maddux got the World Series as well. But, I mean, I think Randy Johnson, like, playoff performance, you're going to go with Randy Johnson. But, you know, Maddux, 4 Cy Youngs, Randy Johnson, 5. It's a really good comparison.
And also Greg in the National League and had a lot of help, you know, was protected with those great Braves teams. So, which, you know, it took a lot of pressure. Randy was the guy, and especially in Seattle. In Arizona, he did have Schilling as another great starter, but a lot of times, you know, it was Randy Johnson was that guy. And he was, you know, he honestly did a lot of the stuff. Hell, that 95 ALDS, he needed back surgery and was coming out there and dominating, you know. So I can understand the argument, but in all seriousness, I'll go with Randy. But in all seriousness, I don't know if I've seen a guy's peak better in pitching than Pedro Martinez. And right. I don't know if
we
I ever
will.
We both
go with Pedro for sure.
Yeah.
Like, that's no argument there.
Pedro was that first pitcher for me that I was like, if he lost, I was shocked that he lost. Like, how did he lose in this time frame? That's how dominant he was. And he was and I think it's funny because you see him, he's on MLB Network or TNT and TBS now, and it's great. So he's out there, but sometimes I'm looking, I'm like, this friendly, funny guy. Yeah. Was a pit bull. He was a bulldog out there. And I don't know. I think because we look at like Nolan Ryan or Sandy or Grover Cleveland, Alexander, and, you know, Lefty Grove and all these guys, Walter Johnson, we got to see a guy just like that at his peak.
Right.
Because his peak is right up there with all those guys. It doesn't take a back seat. I'll tell you that.
No. And one of my favorite things in baseball is, like, you know, you can sit there, watch TV, and you know, flip it through channels, and, you know, you see a baseball game come on and you see Barry Bonds set to the plate and you go, oh, hold on, I got to watch this real quick. You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, Sosa, McGuire, and, you know, in this era, you know, you got to stop and watch it. You know what I mean? Like, you got to watch, see what they do. For me, there wasn't too many pitchers that did that for me. Randy Johnson was one of them, though, I will say that. And, you know, Pedro Martinez was definitely one of them where it's like I'm flipping through channels and I see Boston's playing on ESPN. I'm like, well, who's pitching for Boston? Oh, it's Pedro. Let me watch this inning real quick. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because it was must-watch TV. And, you know, in baseball, you don't really get a lot of that, especially from pitching. But Pedro definitely had that. You know, you get that a lot in pitching when it comes to, like, you know, like bullpen guys, closers. Like, mm-hmm. You may get that. But for starting pitching to make you want to watch a full game like that, like, that's something special, man. And definitely Pedro Martinez was that. He was an all-time amazing, great player. You know, did a lot to build, like, that wave of, like, you know, Dominican baseball players that came into the league. He was a big part of that as well, like him and his brother Ramon Martinez. So, you know, like, for that, that's another reason I feel like he needs to get talked about and elevated a little more, because he definitely helped lead that surge of players that came in and pretty much took over the league, you know. And it's, you know, some of our best players are from that Dominican island. So, and I think that's important for me to say, you know what I mean? Because again, like, you know, we've talked about this hundreds of times, like, off the air, but you know, the Hispanic baseball player, man, like in some of these countries and in places where we come from, it's very, baseball is very, very, very important. And I know it's America's national pastime, or it used to be at least, but for us, it's what we got. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And again, he was a big, big part of making it that, you know what I'm saying? So shout out definitely to Pedro Martinez for that and for an amazing career for sure.
Well, I think that's the right way to end it, man. Well said. And, you know, this is a fun episode to do. And everyone, if you don't know, please, before you get ready to watch the All-Star game, take a, depending on how much time you have, look at 99 All-Star game and look at what Pedro did. And also just look at what Pedro did as a career and what his stats, you know, you can listen to us, but also do your own dive and let us know whether you agree or not. For those who want to, if you agree, disagree, whatever, you can follow us at Bigger Game Pod on Twitter, on Instagram. Please like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, Bigger Than the Game with Darmy and Jose. And also, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, Bigger Than the Game with Darmy and Jose. Subscribe, like, and let us know. We want to know what you guys think. And we also want to make sure, we want to talk about topics that, you know, that we love, but also what the people listening want to talk about as well. So please, we want to hear your feedback, and we want to keep producing really good content for you guys. So,
right. It's a slower time of the year for sports. You know, we got MLB All-Star, but that's pretty much it, you know? So again, like, we're going to talk about some baseball, but you know, we got some more stuff coming for y'all. So we're definitely excited.
So for the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jose Ruiz, I'm Darmy Dove. Thank you guys for listening and watching the game with Darmy and Jose.
Peace.